Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16. We are two-thirds of the way through our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And it has just been a fantastic time. How many of you have been part of the prayer and fasting times? I've been praying and fasting yourself the past several weeks. It's been wonderful. And last week we issued a challenge, a two-part challenge. The first one is we wanted you to pray something every day for the next 2 weeks. There were the four things Jabez prayed. What were those things? Pray for blessing, excellence. What else? Influence. What's the third thing? Presence. And number four, protection. We are to pray these things in our lives. That is how we pray the will of God. We also issued a second challenge, and that is for you to attend one of our corporate prayer times during the 21 days of prayer and fasting, and many of you have availed yourselves to that. And it's just been just a very sweet time in God's presence, a very powerful time, as we have been meeting Monday through Fridays from 12 to 1. We start promptly at 12. We're finished up promptly at 1 o'clock. And if you can't make it for the whole time because of your lunch hour, just come when you can and leave when you have to. But it is just a great time, and we are expecting this to be a launching point for us as we go forward with all of our new fall ministries and iConnect groups that are starting up. Our goal in this series has been to help you pray better. And I hope that you've been finding yourself been able to pray better, pray more, have a better connection with God through this, because that's what we want. And our theme verse has been out of Luke 11, verse 1. It says, "It came to pass as he," Jesus, "was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught the disciples.'" The disciple says, "Hey, we've been doing this prayer thing our whole lives. But Jesus, there's something that is so real, so simple, so inviting, so appealing, so interesting, that when you do it, we want your secret. Teach us to pray. What is the difference? What is it that we're lacking in our prayer lives?" You know, most of us have grown up in prayer environments. We've grown up in church. We're used to praying. And yet, if I ask the question, what is the highlight of your day? What makes you really excited? Probably very few of us would say, my personal prayer time with Jesus. I mean, most of us would say, when I think of prayer, oh man, I think of what do I say? Or I think of it as maybe as something dull, something as maybe a drudgery, something a duty, something that I have to do. Jesus never intended prayer to be any of those things. He intended prayer to be one of the most exciting, close, connecting, intimate times with him. How many of you like to go out on dates with your wife or your husband or your boyfriend or girlfriend? How many enjoy going out on dates? This is a good time to get some brownie points, friends, okay? I look forward to our regular date night that my wife and I have. Here's the thing. Our prayer time is supposed to be our date time with God. You and I have a daily date with God. And as much as I look forward to going on to a date with my wife, God wants me to look forward to spending time with him. Now, here's the thing. I'm just going to throw this out there. Do you look forward to dating God as much as you do your boyfriend, girlfriend, or spouse? If not, well, this is an opportunity for us to take our prayer life up a notch and say, God, begin to do something real and powerful in me. Change the way I see prayer. Help prayer to be exciting, to be vibrant, to be connecting and interesting. That's what our goal is. And today, we're going to talk about, this is probably one of the most practical messages that we've had in our series on prayer. I'm going to give you some practices about how prayer can be exciting and connecting and intimate. And if you're in your notes this morning, in your bulletins, Here's the first line. It says, prayer should be our lifestyle. If you're taking notes today, prayer should be our lifestyle, part of every day. It should be part of every day. The New Living Translation in Luke 18:1 says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show them that they should always pray and never give up. Jesus said we should always pray. It should be our lifestyle, not just when things go wrong, not just when our world comes crashing down, not just when we have a problem or a trial, not just when there is a need. Jesus said, always pray, always pray, always pray, always pray. You say, well, Craig, what if that doesn't work? I have been praying and prayer just doesn't work. That's why Jesus said, never give up. That's a pretty good mantra, isn't it? Always pray, never give up. Paul said it this way in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. He said, pray without ceasing. Pray without quitting. Pray without stopping. Prayer should be our lifestyle. You know, some of us have a problem memorizing Scripture, okay? That verse, pray without ceasing, that's a three-word verse. If you want to memorize a Scripture, memorize that one. I want you to say it with me. Pray without ceasing. Again, man, you guys are good. You have great memories. You just memorized a verse of Scripture today. Pray without ceasing. It is so easy that we get caught up in busyness of school, of our jobs, of all the different activities. We stay up late trying to get a project done. We don't have time to get up in the morning, or we're too tired at night to pray whenever we usually pray. And we just put prayer on the shelf until there is a horrible situation. And then we come and it's like, oh, Jesus, help me, God. And our prayer life doesn't look like a date. It looks like a 911 call. It looks like, you know, 911, this is heaven, how can I help you? Yeah, God, my car broke down, I need $2,000, oh God, would you just help me out? Oh Jesus, please help me. God wants us to come to Him with our needs, but prayer should look more like a date instead of a 911 call. How do we make prayer a lifestyle so that it's something we're doing regularly and not just on the occasion when we need help? Not just when we feel like it. We're going to look at two areas this morning. The first thing we need to do to make prayer a lifestyle is to develop a regular prayer time. In your notes, develop a regular prayer time, not just when there is a crisis or a need. And prayer becomes a lifestyle when we regularly spend time with Jesus, not when we have problems. And to do that, we have three things in your notes there for you to do to develop prayer as a regular time of your daily life, part of your regular routine. And the first bullet there is to find a certain time. Find a certain time and give it to God. In fact, make an appointment. Write it on your phone, or write it in your calendar, put it on your phone, on your tablet. But make a time with God, just as you might would schedule, I've got class here, or I've got an appointment with so-and-so here. Put an appointment on the calendar and say, this is my time with God, and don't let anything, unless a vital, vital emergency, crowd that out, and then reschedule that appointment. Because here's the truth. If you don't make a plan for prayer, if you don't plan prayer and carve it out, it's one of the first things to go as life gets busy. And so we need a certain time with our lives. Now, your certain time might not be the same time every day. It might be earlier on the weekdays and later on the weekends if you sleep in. Maybe your schedule is different Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so you have prayer maybe at 7 o'clock one morning, but Tuesdays and Thursdays it's at 6 in the morning, or maybe you do it at 9 at night. Maybe you work in the oil field for 2 weeks on and 1 week off. Well, those 2 weeks you're on, your prayer time is at a different time than it is on the 1 week you're off. Find a certain time and make an appointment with God. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, it says, Daniel knew that the writing was signed and he went home. This is referring to a decree had went out, And King Darius said, no one can pray to any god except to me. No one can pray to me. If you'd pray to any other god except me, then you'll be thrown into the lion's den. It says, when Daniel knew the writing was signed, when it was made a law, what did he do? He says, whoop, I guess my prayer time's out for the next 30 days. That's not what he did. It says, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And underline this, if you've got your Bible open to this, as was his custom since early days. Daniel had set three times a day, I'm going to pray to God. I'm in this pagan nation of Babylon. They worship all these false gods. I've been taken away from Israel where we worship the one true God. And for me to stay connected to God, to be vibrant with God, there's no church to go to. There's no Christian radio. There's no Christian books. You know, I don't have Chuck Swindoll or Charles Stanley or Andy Stanley. I need to pray three times a day. And he had a vibrant, vibrant prayer life. And he did it since he was a young person. He was 70 years old when this had happened. Daniel had been doing this for about 50, 55 years, and he said, there is nothing, not even the mouths of lions, that is going to keep me from my date time with God. Set a certain time with God. Make an appointment and keep it. That is the first thing to do to develop a regular prayer time. The second bullet in your notes is to find a certain place. Find a certain place. Find a spot where you'd like to meet with God. There's an old hymn and it says, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. The songwriter said, man, my spot with God is a garden. How many of you like to pray in the outdoors? I love to sometimes go up on the mountain and pray or to go on a bike trail or something and just walk and pray with God. It's a great place to go. And you can have a place anywhere. It can be somewhere in nature. I know some people like to pray in their office. I know some people like to actually pray in a closet. You've heard of a prayer closet. Matthew talks about a prayer closet. I know a pastor's wife. She takes her Bible, a box of Kleenexes, and she goes into her closet. She has a big closet. And there's shoes all around her, and she just sits on the floor and prays and cries and reads her Bible. Wherever it works for you, pick a spot. Find a certain place for prayer. My spot is our lazy boy recliner in our living room. When we lived in Iowa, we had a mauve-colored one. And I mean, that was my favorite place. I mean, hey, don't knock mauve 15, 20 years ago. It was in back then. Now we have a leather one. And I tell you, when we switched recliners, it took a little use to getting used to because my spot was different now. But basically, my spot is our lazy boy recliner up until last week. My daughter has joined the swim team. They have practice at 5:45 in the morning. We're leaving the house at 5:15 to hit the pool. So now on the days I take my daughter, my spot is the front seat of our Honda Civic looking at the sunrise in the K-Dub parking lot. You need to find a spot, and that might be a different spot on different days of the week, but find a time, find a spot, and have a date with God. Because here's the thing, friends. God wants you to experience Him. God wants to connect with you. Our students, God wants to connect with each and every one of you. Those of you in college or going off to college, those who have just come back, it's good to see you. Welcome back. But don't neglect your time with God. God wants to do great things through your prayer time because your personal prayer time is where God will reveal Himself, where you experience God the most, and you get to know Him better than anywhere else. Don't go think, I'm going to get my Sunday morning fix in church, and that'll keep me through the rest of the week. We need God every day. Give us this day our daily bread. So find a time, find a place, and then bullet number three is find a certain plan. Find a certain plan. Go into your prayer time with a plan. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. If I have a meeting with someone, I have a plan for that meeting. When we have our staff meeting every week, I have an agenda. I have a to-do list. There's things we cover. I go into every meeting, every appointment, with certain goals that I want to accomplish. And so you and I need to go into prayer with a plan. Some of us get up in the morning, oh man, where's my Bible? I have no idea where my Bible's at. Where's my journal? I don't know where my journal's at. Okay, I'm just going to go and pray and, oh, wow, here I am. I'm sitting in my lazy boy. Oh, what should I talk to you today about, God? What's going on? I've got that meeting with Jimmy John, and I'm not looking forward to that meeting with Jimmy John. Help me with that. And we just kind of stumble through prayer, and if it's early in the morning, we fall asleep in prayer. How many of you have fallen asleep in prayer before? And so you get down on your knees so you don't fall asleep. And then you nod off on the seat of the lazy boy. And I mean, it's easy to do if you don't have a plan for prayer. Jesus gave his disciples a plan for prayer. And we've been looking at it the past few weeks, Luke chapter 11, verse 2 to 4. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we talked about how hallowed be your name means to what? Start with worship. Start with worship. That when we hallow God's name, we're lifting Him up. We're praising Him. And so here's part of your plan. Maybe you need to get a CD player and your music and take it with you. Or maybe your phone has music on it. Or you have an MP3 player. You have your worship music on there and you take that with you. Maybe you need headphones so that you don't blare the music and wake the rest of the house. Maybe it's a hymnal or a songbook. But get prepared for worship. Prepare yourself for worship. Start with worship. That's the first part of the plan. He goes on to say, Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Last week we talked about how this is praying for God's will, that we're surrendering ourselves to His will. And we talked about four things to pray. What were they? Blessing, influence, presence, protection. Now, you know what? This right side over here is doing a great job of remembering this stuff. Center and left, you guys got to pick up the pace a little bit here. What are the four things to pray for God's will for your life? Out loud, everyone. Blessing, influence, presence, protection. There you go. All right. Jesus then went on to say, and he said, give us day by day our daily bread. We talked about this a few weeks ago, about praying for our needs. We need to open our heart and give our needs to God. Our needs, our spouse, our boyfriend, girlfriend, our children, our grandkids, extended family. We need to be praying for our church, for our nation. These are things we need to pray for. And I encourage you, maybe make a prayer list. I have a prayer list that has our president, our senators, our congressmen. It has our the Wyoming Assemblies of God president, the superintendent of our state. And I pray for these people. Now, I don't always hit them every single day, but I try to pray for these people. And so maybe develop a list of what are people, what are areas, what are things in my life that I want to pray for. And wait on God and say, Lord, what are these? You know, God, is there anyone that I need to be praying for salvation or any issues or any goals I have in my life? Make a prayer list and bring those needs to God. Bring those needs to God. Wait on God also, because we talked about a few weeks ago, God sometimes wants to give us a need. He wants to give us a burden, a dream, a plan to impact other people. Jesus went on, and then he said, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Next week, we are going to touch on that aspect of Jesus' prayer. And then the last one is, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is wrapped under the protection part of Jabez's prayer as we pray for God's will. Now, here's the thing. Jesus did not give us this prayer so much to say it as a repetition. Because if you say it as a repetition, you can say it in 20 seconds. I know, because I timed myself just saying it at a normal pace. It takes about 20 seconds to say the Lord's Prayer. Jesus just doesn't want us to come and spend 20 seconds in prayer, and then we go off on our day. nor does he want us to keep repeating that prayer over and over and over, because he taught in Matthew chapter 6 to avoid vain babblings, vain repetitions, just saying the same thing over and over. Jesus gave this prayer as a pattern, as an outline. He said, when you pray, these are the elements, the worship, God's will, the needs of everyone else, protection, and all these things, looking to God for forgiveness and forgiving others. These are elements to include in your life. And so as you go through it, you just kind of wait on God. Some days you might spend more time in worship than you do in confession. Sometimes more time in confession than worship. Let it be like a relationship, not a regimented thing, but just as a date is fluid and flowing and relational and connecting, let your prayer life be that way. Develop a date time with God. Find a certain time, find a certain place, and find a certain plan. Make prayer work for you. Okay, that is the first thing to do to make prayer something that is a lifestyle for us, so we're doing it every day. Now, at the same time, Jesus just doesn't want us to have a regular prayer time, and I pray for 15 minutes, 30 minutes, or an hour, and then I forget about him. I leave him in my prayer closet, shut the door, and I go off and I just do my own thing for the day. I mean, I have done that before. There's so much going on. Life is so hectic, so fast-paced sometimes, and it's like you get to the end of the day, and it's like, oh yeah, Jesus, I left you in the closet, and I forgot to take you out. And we don't include Jesus as part of our everyday life. What we need to do is to develop, and here's the second thing to make prayer part of your lifestyle, is develop a prayer attitude. Develop a prayer attitude. As 1 Thessalonians said, pray without ceasing. Have this attitude of staying connected with Jesus. Prayer is not just an appointment, but it is an attitude of connection throughout our day. Now you say, Craig, how do I do that? How do I do that? And as I was getting ready for this message this week, I came across something that I'd never heard anyone say before, and really it has changed the way I view prayer throughout the week. Are you ready for this? Two simple words, pray first. Pray first. Everyone say, pray first with me. And what that means, if we would pray first before anything takes place in our day, it gives us an attitude of prayer. Before you pick up a phone call, your secretary calls in, there's a phone call, or your phone rings, before you pick it up, say, Lord, just give me your grace and your influence in this phone call. Before you have an appointment, a scheduled meeting, pray before you go into that. If your kids are going to school, before they go to school, just pray a prayer for them. Lord, I pray for my kids today. I pray that you'll make them leaders and not followers. Let them hear this as they're going out the door. Lord, make them the head and not the tail. Help them to be strong and mighty. Give them wisdom and understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Let them hear that going out the door. My son asked me, what does it mean God makes you the head and not the tail? I don't understand that. I says, well, just think about it. Where would you rather stand? At the head of an animal or at the tail of an animal? You know what comes out in the end, okay? Put us at the front so we don't go through all the caca of life, so that you're not at the end and you don't get kicked. Be at the head. God, put them at the front. Make them a leader. Put them out there. What do our kids hear us say the last thing out the door? Do you have your gym clothes? I don't have to run them to you again. Do you have your lunch? You know, did you get your homework done? Or do they hear us say, God, make them the head and not the tail. Make them leaders, not followers. God, help them to rise up and be bold and strong. Just say a quick prayer. Make prayer the first thing you do in everything in life. If you're at work and you've got a new project you're starting, you finish one, Lord, just help me with this project. A phone call comes. God, help me with this. Every new situation, you're driving home, God, help me to get in the right frame of mind. Help me to have emotional strength to give to my spouse and my kids tonight. Help me to connect with them. Pray first at all the different transitional times throughout our day. If we can grasp this of praying first, it helps us to be in an attitude of prayer. Now, I want to just quickly, as we wrap things up, talk about four areas that need action as we pray, okay? In your notes, four areas that need action. And the first one is we need to pray first for our nation and our city. We need to pray first for our nation and our city because, friends, America is at peril. Our country is in danger. And I'm not sure that the elections are the solution to it. In fact, I'm pretty sure they're not. Now, I want you to vote, okay? If you are not registered to vote, you need to register to vote. Be part of the process. Here's the thing. In the last election, 17 million Christians did not vote. 17 million. 9 million of those were not even registered to vote. So we need to vote. We need to participate. But how many know Washington will not solve it? Washington will not solve our problems. Psalm 121:1 says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Friends, I don't lift up my eye to Capitol Hill. I'm not depending on Washington or Cheyenne to solve the issues that face our nation. It is only as the church begins to pray. We're told in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, therefore I exhort first of all, get this? It's one of the first things I encourage you to do, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. When's the last time we've prayed for our president? When's the last time we've prayed for the Supreme Court? When's the last time we've prayed for our senators, our congressmen? And yet we are told, first of all, we encourage you, pray for your leaders over you, that you can live a quiet life, not a life under persecution, a life of righteousness, openly righteous. And we're living in a time where we're told that what is right is now wrong and what is wrong is now right. We need to be praying for America more than we ever have. Psalm 11:11 says, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. Friends, we need to pray a blessing on our city. As you're driving down the road, you see some of these DUI signs that show someone who's standing there with their, you know, they've got their, they're being arrested, they've got their mug shot and stuff, and it says, you know, you lose your job, you've lost your family, you've lost everything, you've lost your future. When we see those signs, begin to pray first. Say, Lord, I pray that you just begin to remove every influence of alcohol in Casper. God, I pray that alcoholism does not touch any more homes. I pray that there's no more abuse that comes through alcohol. I pray no more people die through alcohol. I pray that there's no more drunk drivers that kill anyone. Lord, I just pray that it would be cool to be sober and serve God instead of to drink. I pray that it would be cool in our high schools for our kids to say, I'm drinking Jesus instead of drinking Jack Daniels. And begin to pray what you see going on around you. You walk into stores and you see these magazines and it shows, you know, the girls that are hardly wearing anything say, and you just see it and guys look away and say, Lord, I pray for purity. I pray that young girls will not feel that their image has to come from what they look like or what they give to a guy. Let their image come from that they are a beautiful creation of God. Begin to pray for our city. Bless our city. Lord, bless us with purity. Bless our businessmen so that they can be a blessing to others. As we begin to pronounce blessing on the city, the city is exalted. The blessing of the righteous exalts a city. And so many times we're caught up in our own needs that we're not praying for our city. We're not praying for our nation. Pray first. He says, above all, first, pray for kings and people in authority. Pray for your mayor, your councilman, that they will make decisions that lift up God. Pray for our cities. The second area of action we need to pray for is we need to pray first for our families. Pray for your kids. Every time they leave the house, say a prayer over them. God, make them champions. Lord, cover them with your blood, body, soul, and spirit. God, make them whole. Watch over them. Be praying for your kids. Pray with them at night. You know, it's amazing how much your kids open up to you at nighttime. It's one of the first times they've slowed down enough all day to think what's going on. Secondly, they're milking you to stay up later. They don't want to go to bed early, so they'll start to talk to you. So keep it in balance, but allow enough time so you can talk to them and stuff. But bedtime is a great time to connect with your kids. Pray for them at night. Pray in the morning. Pray for your kids throughout the day. Pray for your spouse. Pray when you go on trips for your family. When we go on a trip, we always pray, Lord, help the car function well. Keep us safe from other people, from wild animals, you know, from... Seriously, there's a lot of deer and antelope in Wyoming, okay? God, keep us free from the animals. You know, keep us free from the animals driving in the other lane and the lanes behind us coming forward. You know, Jesus, just help us. Lord, help us not to kill each other and drive each other bonkers for the next 11 hours as we go to grandma's house. You know, pray for your family. We need to fight for our families because Satan is waging war against them. And I just share with you the admonition that Nehemiah gave in chapter 4, verse 14. It says, remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Fight for your brothers. Fight for your sons and your daughters. Fight for your wives and your homes. The place to fight is on our knees in prayer. If your family is being attacked, if someone's not serving God, if someone's not where they should be, fight in prayer for them. Prayer is the key. Pray first. Another area that we need to pray for is to pray for the lost. And pray for the lost. The reason we need to pray for the lost is because God is interested in the lost. If you are having a conversation with someone and they only talked about what they were interested in and not what you were interested in, wouldn't that be rude? If all they ever did was just focus on themselves? So we need to make sure that as we're praying, that we are focusing, as we're talking to God, that we're focusing on what God is interested in and not just what we're interested in. And you say, well, Craig, what is God interested in? God is interested in people that are out of relationship with Him, people that are away from Him. It says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep without having a shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Notice it says the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is abundant. The problem is not the harvest. The problem is the lack of harvesters. If there were more harvesters, there would be more of a harvest. And so begin to pray, God, raise up harvesters for our church, more people to be involved in the ministry, people being involved in outreach, people involved in discipling. God, make me a harvester. Pray for lost people by name and pray for harvesters. Pray for our church. Pray for every church in the community to be full of people to do the work of ministry because that's what matters to God. You and I, we can worship better up in heaven. I can learn way more revelation face-to-face with Jesus than I can in church or reading my own Bible or going to an iConnect group. I can have way better fellowship with everyone when my sin nature is gone and I'm up in heaven. Why does Jesus still have us on planet Earth? It's lost people. Pray for lost people. Engage lost people. That's what Jesus is calling us to do. And then the last area that needs our action as we pray is pray first for my needs. Now you'd say, well, Craig, I do that one really well. I pray for my needs first all the time. I want to take a look at a different slant at it. What happens when you get a cold, when you get a headache, when there's something that takes place that affects you physically? What do you do? Do you go to the medicine cabinet and break out the cough syrup, the chloraseptic for your sore throat, the ibuprofen for your headache? Or do you say, Jesus, heal me? Now, I'm not against going to the doctor. I'm not against taking medicine. I do it regularly. But Jesus wants us to pray first, not just in big things, but in little things. And so in all of our needs, pray first. When you hear of a situation, when something breaks, pray first. Yesterday, I was painting my house. Oh, talk about an exercise in patience. Talk about a need for prayer. We have this paint stick, and it helps because when you go up on the roof of your house, you don't have to come down in 2 minutes because you ran out of paint. But as I first started the first pass and I push on the handle so paint would come out the roller, it comes squirting out of the fill thing. And I'm going, no, I'm painting the peaks of my house. God, what do I do? And actually, that's not the first thing I said. First thing I said was, I was very upset, and I just went in the house, and I just began to pray, because in fasting and prayer, things happen, okay? Things break down, people get sick, 2 wallets have been stolen in the past 2 weeks. I mean, just a lot of things have been happening. You got to be prayed up and undergirded when you go into fasting and prayer. And so I just began to say, God, this is how I feel. And I says, God, what am I going to do? God, I need your help. First thing I did was pray. I first kind of had a pity party and unloaded a little bit, okay? And then I prayed. And as I sat there, God showed me a baggie sitting on the counter. And he says, take the baggie, unscrew the fill point, put it on, and go to it. And I used the paint stick the whole day, didn't have any problems. Pray first. Don't worry, don't fret, don't try to figure. I started to try to figure it out, and I says, no, I've got to stop and pray. When you pray first for your needs, God can give you an idea in seconds. And it might not be 2 days before, but when you need it, he will be there. He is seldom early, but he's never late. We're told in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing. I believe this is a word for some of you who are here today. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Okay, with thanksgiving, you're already trusting God before it takes place, before you get the answer. You're giving him thanks. Let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here's the last line of your notes. This is vitally important. Prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. Prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. As we develop this attitude of prayer in our needs, our family, our city, our community, before every situation we go into, as we begin to develop a regular prayer time with Jesus, seeing it as a date and not as a drudgery or a duty, as we do this, we're going to become people of prayer. And friends, that's what we need. We need to be a people of prayer, because if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and plan, witness, disciple, work, tithe. No, all those things are good. But if they pray, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. God needs us to be a people that pray first and foremost in our lives. Let's pray.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.